From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the concluding portion of a message entitled Dead and Alive. The text is Romans 6, verses 3 through 5. At the moment of salvation, the old man is looked upon as having died with Christ on the cross. The new man is regarded as having been made alive with Christ at his resurrection. Believers are said to benefit from all that Christ did in his death as if they had done it themselves. When Paul speaks of the believer as having been baptized with Christ into death, he is referring to the breaking of sin's power in the Christian's life. Similarly, believers participate in Christ's resurrection from the dead. They become partakers of Christ's resurrection life. The power of sin has been destroyed in their lives. Indeed, those who have been redeemed by Christ have an inward necessity to live for him. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the final portion of Dead and Alive. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
The text for this morning is found in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 2. And all the children of Israel murmured. There are murmurs amongst Christians now, as there were in the camp of Israel of old. There are those who, when the rod falls, cry out against the afflictive dispensation. They ask, Why am I thus afflicted? What have I done to be chastened in this manner? A word with thee, O murmurer. Why shouldst thou murmur against the dispensations of thy heavenly Father? Can he treat thee more hardly than thou deservest? Consider what a rebel thou wast once, but he has pardoned thee. Surely, if he in his wisdom sees fit now to chasten thee, thou shouldst not complain. After all, art thou smitten as hardly as thy sins deserve? Consider the corruption which is in thy breast, and then wilt thou wonder that there needs so much of the rod to fetch it out? Weigh thyself, and discern how much dross is mingled with thy gold. And dost thou think the fire too hot to purge away so much dross as thou hast? Does not that proud rebellious spirit of thine prove that thy heart is not thoroughly sanctified? Are not those murmuring words contrary to the holy submissive nature of God's children? Is not the correction needed? But if thou wilt murmur against the chastening, take heed, for it will go hard with murmurers. God always chastises his children twice if they do not bear the first stroke patiently. But know one thing, he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. All his corrections are sent in love, to purify thee, and to draw thee nearer to himself. Surely it must help thee to bear the chastening with resignation, if thou art able to recognize thy Father's hand. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. Murmur not, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer.
God's revival.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're really not sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study today.
Of Christ was inevitable, given who he was, given what he had done in his death. It was impossible that he do anything else but rise from the dead. Now I want you to get that clearly in your mind, because Paul is now going to draw a tremendously important argument from that. And he's going to say, similarly, it is just as inevitable that a justified person, a believer in Christ, who died unto sin, must rise to walk in newness of life. You see, those who died unto sin are raised by the glory of God. That's a strange expression, is it not? Raised by the glory of God. It's not so strange when you stop to think of it, because here there are some important points, and I want you to get two of them in your mind. Listen, believers partake of all the benefits of Christ's resurrection by the glory of God, just as surely as they partake of the benefits of his death. Now, what is this glory of God? Most commentators agree it's the power of God, gloriously manifested. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. But I think it is also this: it is the power of God manifested to promote and display his glory. And what displays the glory of God like the resurrection of Christ? And in connection with that, like the resurrection of sinners from the dead. Think of Paul's words to the Ephesians. You hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. And he goes on to describe that in time past, they had walked as all sinners walk, in the lusts of the flesh and of the mind, and they were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And then he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when you were dead in sins, hath quickened you together with Christ. Listen, here's the glory of God. I love how Paul puts it in Ephesians 1. He has a great prayer, the second half of Ephesians chapter 1. I strongly recommend you memorize it. I strongly recommend you get on your knees and you pray through every syllable of it. I strongly recommend that you labor in prayer over Ephesians chapter 1 until that prayer becomes the very expression and then the very experience of your own soul. Paul prays for three great things that they may know. And in verse 19, he comes to pray that ye may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, far above all principalities and powers and every name that is named, and he gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Listen, this is the glory of God, and it took Christ and it set him right up above all the powers of hell. And he says, listen, believer, that's the power that raised you from the dead. That's the power that gave you faith in Christ. And what does God's glory do to the believer in Christ? It does for him spiritually what it did for Christ physically. It raises you above principalities and powers. You are not the victim of Satan. You are not the victim of demons. You are not the victim of circumstances. You are not the plaything of lust. You are conqueror and more than conqueror. Why? Why? Because when you died in Christ, you also then rose again in him. And there's more even than that. Because listen, that resurrection of Christ, Romans 4:25 tells me, is a declaration of our justification. It is a declaration that God has acquitted us of all guilt and accepted us unto all glory. What does it mean then that when you died to sin, you're raised again in life unto God? I'll tell you, it means you're acquitted and you're accepted. You're living in the exceeding greatness of God's glorious power. So that even now, while you're on earth, while you're here on earth, you have the power to live on earth in the full authority and victory of heaven. I want you to understand that. That's not some super Christianity. That's not some high stratum of experience for an elite. That's Christianity. Pure and simple. That's it. You see why it's so important to know the gospel? Because out of this knowledge comes this experience. And even then it's not finished. Because we're planted in the likeness of his death and we're raised in the likeness of his resurrection. You see, at the moment we're not actually physically raised from the dead. As we see as we go on in Romans chapter 6 and chapter 7, this is one of the great problems. I died unto sin, the old self is dead. It's a new man now that lives. But this body still can be an instrument of sin. You see, the body has not yet been raised. It has not yet been glorified. That remains for the future, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8. But it will be raised. Today we have the spiritual experience of resurrection power. We're in the likeness of His resurrection. But there's coming a day of great certainty and of great glory when we will rise again. Or if we're alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, when we shall be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, and this vile body will be made like unto His glorious body, and so that the complete man, body and soul, will be entirely, absolutely, sinlessly, perfectly like Christ. Oh, we're partakers not only of the benefits of the death, that's glorious, but just as surely the benefits of the resurrection. That means, you know, that because they have such newness of life, believers walk in this world in the light of that union with Christ. You see, what they are, what they have in Christ, is the new governing principle of believers' lives. You look back in your life if you're a Christian, there was a time when self ruled. There was a time when the old man was very much the ruling principle. You were in Adam. And that's all there was about it. But now, by faith, you're in Christ. That's a new man. I'm not talking about two natures here. Forget about all that. That's a psychological monstrosity that has been imported into Christian theology, and it trips off the end of our tongue and it just confuses people. I'm talking about the old man's dead. That's you in Adam, gone forever. You're now in Christ. That's the governing principle of a believer's life. You remember what Paul said to Titus in chapter 2, verse 14, concerning Christ, that He gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people. The word peculiar people means His very own people, His own personal possession. Zealous of good works, eager to do good works. That's why Christ died. And Romans 6 is telling you, there is no failure in the death of Christ. He died, and His death produces what He intended it to produce. And believers are His peculiar people. And they have a zeal to do good. That's the difference. It's not to say they cannot sin. The tragedy is we do sin. And we'll have to deal with that reality in the latter part of Romans 6 and as we go through Romans 7. But there's a big difference. And the big difference is this. Sin is now the usurper. Sin is the intruder. Sin brings with it grief and conviction and unhappiness. It is not our natural element anymore. The mark of the man who died to sin, died to self, and rose again in Christ in newness of life, is that through the merits of Christ and the power of His death and resurrection, he is eager to do good works. That's the mark of him. So here's Paul's third great implication. If you died in Christ, then you have newness of life. You rose again to resurrection in Christ. The final implication, of course, is this, that the proof is conclusive. We've come full circle now. I said what Paul was setting out to argue. So here's the proof. It's conclusive that those who are justified freely by grace can never make free grace an excuse for sin. Anybody who's making the grace of God an excuse for sin has never known the grace of God. Anybody who's making Christianity the cook for an evil life and excusing it because, well, God's grace will cover it anyway. He has never been justified. Paul is giving the conclusive proof here. The justified people will not continue in the old element of sin. They've been delivered from its tyranny. There's a wonderful thought here that I don't have time really to develop too much, but take it with you and think of it. How have we been delivered from the tyranny of sin? How have we been brought out from the reign of sin? By being baptized into Christ's death. Baptized. Do you remember in Matthew 20, verse 22, how the Lord Jesus described his death? When the mother of James and John came and said, you know, let my two sons sit in your right hand and left hand in the kingdom, Jesus looked at them and said, can you drink of the cup that I'm going to drink of? Can you be baptized with the baptism wherewith I am baptized? That baptism was his violent, cruel death. Now, we have been baptized into that death. In other words, we have been violently, if I may use the word, we have been powerfully torn from the realm of sin by the virtue of the death of Christ. And there is no way, without reversing the death of Jesus Christ, there is no way for sin to regain its realm and its reign and its tyranny over the justified soul. It can't have its old place. We have been implanted into Christ. We share all the benefits of his dying, of his rising again, as the branches partake of a vine, as the members of a body partake of the head. Now, in the light of this, ask the question, shall we continue in sin? Shall we? And in verse 1, the emphasis is on the we of all people, shall we continue in sin and make the excuse that it glorifies the grace of God in forgiving us? No. The answer is plain. Secure in Christ, raised to newness of life in him, believers have the power to live for God. And not just the power. They have the inward necessity to live for God. For their justification guarantees their sanctification and their victory.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.